King David is having a tough time, as he did often. But this time was a kind of a tragic time. His son Absalom was taking the throne by force. And you wouldn't think a king would have bad days, but this was a bad day. And he faced a life event that left him beyond the ability to handle, leaving him speechless, dumbfounded, and hopeless. What do I do? What do I do? 1 Samuel 15, 13, and 14, a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." Now, look at that line. What he's saying is, all of the people that you have served, all the people that you have given your time for and you have fought for, they've rejected you. Tell me what that does inside. Tell me. Then David said to his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom." I'm not going to fight him. I'm going to put this in God's hand. I'm just going to take my people and we're going to go. We don't want to do that. "Go quickly, lest he overtakes us quickly and bring down the ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." Now hear what David says. "If I leave, he'll leave Jerusalem alone." That's a king's heart. If I leave, he'll leave the people alone. He won't do anything to them. So I'm just going to go. Folks, we have times in our lives where the events are so difficult, we don't know what to do. Have you felt one of that? Faced an event that was so far past your ability to handle, leaving you speechless, dumbfounded, and hopeless. When salvation comes, what do we do? We put on this nice churchy smile, and we come to church, and it's like we've got no problems. Let me tell you something. We all have problems. Every one of us. Some are a little deeper this morning than others. And you won't be able to tell by how they dress or their face or that, because we want to handle ourselves, which we can't do. Ella Fitzgerald saying, "Into each life some rain must fall, but too much rain is falling in mine." Ever been there? Too much rain is falling in mine. You can see it in the life of Joseph. As his dad sends him to check on his brothers capture him, take his robe off, throw him in the cistern, and he's back there going, "Okay, come on. You know you're going to get me out. You're not going to leave me here." They pull him out and they sell him to the Midianites. And he's going, whoa, wait a minute. This is not what I had planned. See, God gave me a vision and this is not it. King David running for his life. How about the Apostle Paul, known as Saul? Going to Jerusalem, he's got his life ordered. He is a Pharisee. He's going, rising in the ranks quickly. He knows who he is. He knows what he's doing. He's going to capture and bring Christians back to be killed. And he finds Jesus on the road to Damascus. Can you see him just kneeling in that dusty road going, "What now? What now? My whole life was there. What now?" And all of them struggled with hard times. Despair, probably hopelessness, but God did some awesome things in their lives. Joseph, he had shown a dream twice that he was going, his brothers and sisters would bow down to him. He showed him that kept him situated. David had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Saul experienced the risen Jesus. He heard his voice. He heard God telling them, "This is who you are. Regardless of what is happening in your life now. Joseph, my promise is that you're being a place of authority. David, you are the anointed king of Israel. Regardless of what circumstances, that's who you are. Saul, you're going to be my apostle to the Gentile. Regardless of what's happening in your life now." See, there were times it sure didn't look like it. It sure didn't look like it. And you are tempted to say this morning, "Well, if I had received a vision like Joseph, I would, or if I had heard the voice of Jesus, or if I had anointing like Saul, I would not fear or worry as much. I would not doubt God as much. I would not struggle with me or you as much." What are we saying? there is something we are lacking in our Christian walk. God, you have not provided everything I need for my struggles. Isn't that what Adam and Eve said? God's holding back. There's something good that he's not given me. What? That's what we do. Psalms 34:10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We're going to look at four statements from the Apostle Paul that speak to us going through those rough times as born-again children of God. The first thing he's going to say is every born-again child of God has been infused with the glory of God. Every one of them. Infused biblically means a quality or grace that God pours into a person's life, into his soul, transforming them from within. Upon salvation, we are not just forgiven, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We're filled with the glory of God. We're filled with the power of God through His Spirit. 2 Corinthians, and we're being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and ye all with unveiled face. In other words, we can see it. We can experience it. Behold, the glory of the Lord are being, what's that word? Transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is a spirit. We are being transformed into the Lord Jesus Christ through his character. An ever increasing degree of depth. Unveiled faces, we can experience light in our darkness of sin. We can experience light in the events of life that so drag us down. There is life in the events of life that drag us down. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. Verse 6, for the Lord who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus. Folks, we get to know God Almighty. We get to know Jesus Christ. We see it as we read it in Scripture, as we worship Him, as we study Him. The Amplified said, for God said, let light shine in the darkness, is the one who has shown His in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory and the majesty of God clearly revealed in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability to understand and grasp the glory of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter the events of your life. It does not matter how good you are, how perfect you are, how much you hold on to it. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. God said, let there be light in the darkness. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Look at the words. Void, empty, dark, without purpose or meaning. That describes our life before allowing the Word of God to fill us at salvation. That's who we were, regardless of what the exterior shows, regardless of what this shows. It was void, it was empty, it was dark, without purpose, and without true meaning. And God said, Christians, let there be light in that darkness. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life, filling the void, the empty, the dark, the purposeless of His glory, and described the life after allowing the Word of God to fill us at salvation. Folks, we are blessed. Blessed beyond measure. But look, it says, He has made this light to shine in our hearts. It's all God. We just accept what God has offered. We get to allow it to infuse our life, to grow in our life. We can expand upon that through the reading of His Word. But it is all God. Why would God do this? Doesn't He know who we are? Yes. He does. Doesn't He know how weak we are? Yes. Doesn't He know how much trouble I can cause? Yes. Look, why would He do it? So we could know the glory of God. so we can experience the glory of God, so we can begin to grasp God Almighty and His glory, so we become intimate with Him. Folks, we can know God now in a way that not just creation, but we can get to know who He is. We have to know His voice. Before Christ, the glory of God was seen in the Old Testament law. Can you imagine trying to understand God through His sacrifices or the feasts or through the 363 laws that they had to live by that they never could? But today, it's seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus shows us God the Father. So every born-again child, we've been infused with the glory of God, but every born of God child leaks. Do you know that? We leak. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, that's our physical body, are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. Not ourselves. We leak. Amplified, but we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation, in unworthy earthen vessels, human frailty. Here, the Spirit of God lives here. It lives within you as a born-again child of God. And no matter how strong and brave you think you are, these things are fragile. They're going to wear out. Events could happen that you can't handle. Knees are going to hurt. Eyes are going to go bad. And things are going to happen in life that you can't handle. But we still have the glory of God in us. The message says we carry this precious message around in an unadorned clay pot of our ordinary lives. Paul compares our physical and humanness holding the knowledge of Jesus to common, cheap, and easily broken earthen jars. We leak. We leak. If everything was going right for you, never have any issues in life, you will eventually walk away and slide away from the relationship of God Almighty. Why? Because life is easy. You have no real need to go to Him. And you leak that faith. But you let something come into your life that you cannot handle. You run to His feet. You grab a hold of His legs. You go to His Word looking for His promises, looking for His power. And that relationship grows, if you will, because these vessels crack and they chip and they break under pressure. That pressure that we don't have the power to withstand it. We are unstable in and of ourselves. And we leak under pressure over time. This is why at times every strong Christian can cry out, "Where are you, God? Where are you at? You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. It sure looks funny now because I can't find you. And my prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling. Where are you at? You said you would give me strength, but man, I don't feel it right now. Where are you at?" If all we had to trust was ourselves, this kind of fragile clay pot describes us. But the Holy Spirit, in filling us with the knowledge of Jesus, brings truth, which brings stability into our life and our life's experience. Let me say it again. The knowledge of Jesus brings truth, which brings power, which brings stability into whatever your life experience is. But we still leak. We still leak. God gets all the glory. And please understand, In our weakness, we can leak the power provided by God. We get anxious. We get nervous. We say stuff like, I can't do this any longer. And in and of yourself, you're right. And we release our grasp just a little bit of the person of Jesus. Would you please have patience for people like that? Would you please pray that they would grasp once again who they are and protect yourself? Because one day that could be you. We sometimes leak the wisdom of Christ by beginning to trust our eyes and our feelings. We can leak our courage becoming fearful, anxiety-filled with feelings of being forgotten. What's the answer? When you find yourself there, what's the answer? You keep your eyes on who you are now in Christ Jesus by keeping your eyes on Jesus. I feel like I am weaker than water. Christ said, you are stronger than you think through me. Be patient. Hang on. I'm coming. Every born-again child of God overcomes. So yes, we leak, but every born-again child of God overcomes. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles. We are crushed, but no, we are not crushed. We are perplexed, that's to be lost or confused, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. I like the way the Message says it. You know for yourself that we're not much to look at. Amen? We are not much to look at. We have been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we are not demoralized. We are not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God has not left our side. We have been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. There is a crushing effect when hardships come, but our faith and trust in Jesus prevents us from being crushed. Yes, there could be periods in which it feels that way. Yes, there are periods in which you will wonder whether you can withstand. But we're not crushed because we're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a battle within us, and it may feel like we are losing, but we are already pronounced more than conquerors in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still battle, don't we? We still battle. We get knocked down. We don't stay down because we're not destroyed. We may feel lost, confused, unsure, but we know we are not because God will never abandon us. That's what we hang on to. The world may see someone knocked down, but God will raise us up to a newness of life in His time. Yes, it may take time, but God is faithful, so come back to Jesus. Listen to me, Christian, every born-again child of God overcomes. And we will all stand before the judgment seat, before the throne of God, and we will say, holy, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. Every born-again child of God is promised a glorious future. Keep your head up. Look ahead. Your help is not behind. Your help is ahead of you. Verse 16 and 17. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits, that inner being, are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long in comparison to eternity. Yet they produce for us a glory that is vastly outweighs them and lasts forever. Once again, the Message. So we're not giving up. How could we, even though outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the good times coming, the lavish celebration prepared for us. That's far more here. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. What keeps you driving in hour 10 of a 12-hour vacation trip? It could be that vacation waiting ahead. It could be your bed that's waiting ahead because you've not slept for a week. You're looking ahead. That's what he's talking about. There, the thought and hope of what awaits you at the end. Folks, what keeps a born-again child of God continuing when all that hope is gone? What keeps them continuing? Is it not the hope of what awaits us in heaven? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I know he'll welcome me at heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not our home. Our past troubles are small, and in comparison to eternity, it won't last long. It won't last long. But even in our struggles, they are not meaningless today. No point in a born-again child of God is any of that time meaningless. They are producing a glory in us that vastly outweighs our present struggles. Through our struggles, we get to know God deeper. Through our struggles, we get to know ourselves deeper. If it wasn't for our struggles, we would never learn to release the grasp on our life and say, "Here, Lord, my life is in your hands." We would never do that. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the struggles of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." In us. The New Living Translation said, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." Every born-again child is promised a glorious future. God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. He found him and he went, let's read Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going." He had a direction, but he didn't really know. God had just promised him a land and he said, "Okay, we're going." "And when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God." He was looking for an eternal city. He was looking for heaven. And for him, heaven's going to be in the land of Canaan. He went, not exactly sure where he was going, but he followed the voice of the Lord. He inherited the land of Canaan even though he didn't occupy it. And it was 500 years before his family could. Satan is very good at making us feel like ordinary, fragile clay pots, isn't he? He's good. He's good at getting our eyes upon our struggles and our own limitations. He is good at leading us to think we need more from God. Something is missing, or God is holding back something good. Think Adam and Eve in the garden. He is good at bringing the word failure into our hearts. Failure. He's good at that. We have a choice to trust, accept, and apply his thinking, or you can see yourself as God sees you. I am confident that Joseph, as he was going through all of his struggles, was looking at himself going, "Someday, my mom and dad's going to bow down to me. Don't know what God's got planned, but I'm going to be in a position of authority, so I'm going to learn what I need to learn in Potiphar's household. I'm going to learn what I need to learn in prison. I'm going to learn what I need to learn." And in one day, he went from a prisoner to second in command in Egypt. Boom, God knows what he's doing. And I think he always saw himself through God's promise. That's what I want you to do. I want you to see yourself through God's promise to you. His promise is this: you are more than a conqueror. Doesn't look like it. You are more than the sum of your physical parts, you have me and the power of creation of the Holy Spirit within you. I know where I'm taking you. I know what I'm doing in your life, not just your life, but you're not even seeing this stuff over here I'm doing as a result of that. So be firm. Be set in who you are. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him. There's nothing more you need than your obedience to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Living Bible says it like this. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. He is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. Every other power. The Message says it like this. Everything of God gets expressed in him, in Jesus. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything, and that includes you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Because truthfully, we are weak in and of ourselves. And I thank you that you are holding us and forgiving us and massaging your grace within our existence, that we may know God better because we know Jesus better, and we will be ready when we take that last breath to hear those words we so long to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am confident there are those here this morning, even though their face may not show it, that are struggling with some things that are beyond their abilities. That are leaking this morning. And they need our acceptance. They need our strength to walk along beside them. And may they reach out to you this morning, dear Father. Come down to your altar and just place that, whatever that hurt, that need, that experience, just lay that at your feet, that they may rise in a newness of life. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we do not have to be governed by feelings. We do not have to be governed by our strengths or our weaknesses, but we can be governed by what you see within us, what you are doing within us. And Lord, I pray that you lead us down that path for us. Now, Father, we cannot do this without the filling of the Spirit. We cannot do this without the leadership of the Spirit. We cannot do this unless we put ourselves in your presence through prayer, through adoration, through worship, through study. Lord, we will do our part, and we will trust you to do yours. Now, Father, open up these altars, and I thank you for your glory alone. Amen.